Welcome, 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 welcome to Chapel of Change Worship Experience Online. My name is Pastor Brian, and I welcome you in the name of the Lord. Let's open up our Bibles this morning. Everybody ready to get into the Word? Let's open up our Bibles this morning to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. As you know, for the last several weeks, we have been marinating on God's words to Jeremiah in chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. I'm going to read this. I want to invite you, if you're able, let's stand to on our feet for the reading of God's word. Let's stand to our feet. So wherever you're at, if you're in your living room, let's stand to our feet. Come on, our brothers and sisters in Lakewood, stand on your feet. Our brothers and sisters in Long Beach, stand in your feet. Brothers and sisters in Carson, Paramount area, Downey, wherever you're at, Arizona, let's stand to our feet. Why do we do this? Why do we stand to our feet for the reading of God's word? Because we want to honor God. We want to honor God, and we believe that this is the written word of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, it reads like this. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, 'Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am a youth, but you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.'" Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. This morning, we open up your word to feast. Feed us, Lord. Feed us joy. Feed us strength. Feed us hope. Feed us healing by your word. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Today, I'm excited to continue. Actually, I'm going to be concluding temporarily our series on slaying insecurity. We're going to be concluding this for temporarily. We're going to come back to it in the near future. But we've been talking about this for about 5 to 6 weeks already, and I'm excited to share with you what God has put on my heart for you this week. I just had to grab this sword because it just makes me feel good grabbing the sword. And every time I grab it, I feel like Conan. Amen. So we're talking about slaying insecurity. You don't have to put up with insecurity no more. You don't have to put up with it no more. You don't have to accept it no more. If you're a born-again believer, you have the authority and you have the power to slay insecurity when it tries to hold you down, when it tries to hold you back. Remember, if you're a mover and the shaker and shaker in the kingdom of God, if you're someone who presses into the things of God, you're going to be hit with insecurity at various levels of your walk with God. So you got to stay with your sword. Someone say, stay with your sword. You got to stay with your sword. So tonight or today, I'm excited to share with you some things that God has taught me. And I want to start off today with where we left off last Sunday. We were learning last Sunday how important it is to live out of your kingdom identity. We started that kind of conversation last Sunday on how important it is to live out of your kingdom identity. And I shared with you last Sunday, I want to remind you again, because some of y'all weren't listening. The devil wants you to live out of insecurity. God wants you to live out of identity. I'm glad there's more people in the house of the Lord this morning. I get to look at you guys now. The devil wants you to live out of insecurity. God wants you to live out of your identity. What's the difference? What's the difference? Listen, your new kingdom identity is who you are in Christ. I had a viewer send me a message this week, and she was learning with us. She don't go to our church, but she was learning with us online, and she asked the question. She said, "Man, I heard what you said about identity, but what do you mean about identity? Can you explain it just a little bit much clearer?" Right? And I'm happy to do so. Your kingdom identity is who God says you are. That's your new ID in the kingdom of God. So when I talk about your new kingdom identity, I'm talking about who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. Who God says you are. The moment you surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, you become one with Jesus. You become connected to Jesus. You become one with Jesus. And the Father places you in Jesus. Listen, your new ID in the kingdom of God is basically who you are in Christ Jesus. The moment you surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, let me remind you, the Father places you in Christ, in Jesus. He no longer sees you as you. I know that's radical, but that's good news. How many know that the good news of Jesus Christ is radical, right? The good news of Jesus Christ is radical. Jesus did not come here just to do something simple. No, he came here to do something radical, and that includes giving you a new ID to operate out of in this world. Now remember, insecurity lives out of the labels that man puts on you. Insecurity lives out of the labels that man puts on you. If you haven't learned this already, the longer you live and the longer you try to, you know, do good and you try to, you know, fulfill your dreams, the more people will try to put labels on you. The world will try to put labels on you. And if you're not careful, the devil will trick us into living out of those labels that man has put on us instead of the declarations that God has spoke over us. You see the difference? I remember telling you guys the story a long time ago that when I was in the seventh grade and I was in the hallway, one of my teachers yelled out at me and he said, "A worthless, come over here. A worthless." My last name is Warth, W-A-R-T-H, but he didn't say that. He said, "A worthless, come over here." What was he doing? He didn't realize what he was doing, right? What was he doing? He was putting a label on me. And I don't even remember his name. He was a good guy. I don't even remember his name. But guess what? To this day, I still remember that statement. That's how tricky the devil is. And so we need to learn as new believers or as believers in Christ Jesus to pull out our ID. We operate out of our new ID in the kingdom of God. Anybody following along? If you're struggling with insecurity, you need to find out all the scriptures, particularly in the New Testament, that reveal or declare who you are in Christ Jesus. This is your assignment. If you're really struggling with insecurity, and again, if you're a mover and shaker in the kingdom of God, you're going to struggle with insecurity. That's not something strange, because anybody who wants to do something significant is going to have to slay insecurity. So if you're struggling right now because you're about to go to another level, maybe you're about to go to another level in the kingdom of God, right? Well, then what you need to do is go back to the New Testament and find out all the scriptures that declare who you are in Christ Jesus. I'm going to help you out. Let me remind you of a couple of them. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I'm just giving you what I was taught. I'm giving you how I was able to slay insecurity in my life, showing you what to do. Romans 8, 1 says, "There's therefore now no," someone say no, "no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." See, the devil would want you to live out of condemnation. The devil will want you to live out of regret over your past mistakes. And every time that type of insecurity tries to wrap itself around your neck, you need to go back to Romans chapter 8 and say, "No, no, 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 no. There's no condemnation for those," get this now, "who are in Christ Jesus." What does that mean? Those are people who are saved. Those are people that are redeemed. Those are people that are sanctified. The moment you were born again, the Father placed you in Christ Jesus. I'm letting you know your new ID. Just giving you some examples. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, one of the most powerful declarations of your new ID. Listen to this. For our sake, he, speaking of Jesus, made him, or the Father, made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, look at this word, in him, someone say in him, we might become the righteousness of God. That is a radical revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus. It's radical. I mean, it's so radical, you do not get the power of this verse just by simply reading over it. You got to meditate upon this thing. You got to marinate on it. You got to understand that in Christ Jesus, you are the righteousness of God. What does that mean? That means you have right standing with God. That means you can stand in the presence of God with no sense of sin or guilt. That means you can walk with confidence, not because of anything you have done, but because you are in Christ Jesus. I'm trying to help reveal to you your new kingdom ID. What does it mean to live out of our new ID or identity? It means we discover who we are in Christ and begin to apply that to our life. I'm just trying to help you out a little bit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to put it up on the monitor. Look at what it says about you. Look at what God declares about you. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Wow, what a powerful verse. Look at that. Blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. Look at that. In Christ. Blessed us in Christ. So when you feel condemned, when you feel guilty, when you feel ashamed, all those are manifestations of insecurity, trying to wrap itself around your neck, trying to hold you down, trying to get you, stop you from going to the next level. Maybe your next level is a new job position. Maybe your next level is college. Maybe your next level is high school. And maybe the devil's trying to hold you back. Then what you need to do is pick up your spiritual sword and say, I am blessed in Christ Jesus. I'm blessed. I want you to visualize this, because this is what happens in the spiritual realm. Every time you declare and align yourself up with who God says you are and kind of stand on it, you're picking up your spiritual sword and you are, I am blessed. Every time the devil tries to get me to think that I'm condemned or I'm nobody, and I stand up and I say, I'm blessed in Christ Jesus, I'm picking up my spiritual sword. My brothers and sisters, you're going to have to fight for all that God wants you to be. The great news is that Jesus already won the victory. So what is the difference? What is the difference between living out of insecurity and living out of your kingdom ID? I told you this last Sunday. I'm just bringing it back for you to think about a little bit more. Insecurity is into titles. Insecurity is into titles. Insecurity forms their identity from titles. Identity is into towels. Identity is into towels. What do you mean by that? Insecurity is into titles. Kingdom identity is into towels. What do you mean by that? Well, you remember when Jesus, the night before he died, he took his disciples up into a room and they were bickering about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Anybody remember that? And they were arguing with one another, and I want to sit on your right side, and I want to be this, and I want to be that. And how did our master respond? You know what he did? He took the towel around from his waist and he began to wash their feet. And he basically rebuked them and said, hey, the unbelievers. Believers chase after titles. The unbelievers chase after authority. We, as kingdom citizens, we carry a towel. We keep a servant's heart. That's kingdom identity. We don't chase after titles. Right? We don't chase after titles. We don't form our identity from our titles. I remember when I was about 21 years old, and I was first appointed as an inmate pastor of a prison chaplain. And I remember preaching and teaching the word of the Lord. And we experienced a level of revival. People started coming to the chapel. People were getting saved. And the chapel started to get full with people. And in a matter of maybe 2 months, because of a course of events, I was sat down from ministry and stripped of my title. I was stripped of my title. It was painful. It was hurtful. Like I don't know if you've ever been sat down from in ministry, but it was hurtful. And I got stripped from my title, stripped from me. But let me tell you something. That was probably one of the best things God ever allowed to happen to help develop who I am today, because in that season, my brothers and sisters, I learned to serve without a title. I learned to serve without a title, and I just began to serve without a title. I just began to do what God just naturally called me to do. And guess what? Well, I learned, it was fascinating, within 2 months, right, of just serving, not chasing a title. Next year I know people were calling me pastor, and they were saying, hey, Pastor Brian. I was like, whoa, hold on, I'm not a pastor. And it was just naturally happened because I began to serve. We don't chase titles. We carry towels. And then things will line up. That's the difference between living out of insecurity and living out of kingdom identity. Now, let's go back to Jeremiah. As you remember, Jeremiah was given a God-given assignment upon his life. And before Jeremiah submitted to this assignment, he was hit with insecurity. And insecurity tried to wrestle Jeremiah down. He made several excuses why he couldn't do what God called him to do. By the way, when you start making excuses why you can't do what God has called you to do, typically, if you dig deep down enough, you will see some form of insecurity in them excuses. And so Jeremiah began to say, I'm young, I'm too young, I'm not mature enough, I don't have the credentials to do what you want me to do, I don't have the experience to do, I can't speak. He began to say, I can't speak, and you can see these expressions of insecurity wrapping itself around the neck of Jeremiah. And God, as we learned these last several weeks, if you haven't followed along with us, go back on YouTube, Chapel of Change TV, and catch up with our learning, but we learned that God began to declare certain things over Jeremiah. God began to declare. God did not accept Jeremiah's excuses. Instead, even before he made the excuses, God began to declare some things over him. That's what we've been studying. That's what we're founding our study upon. God told him, I know you. God told Jeremiah, I know you. God told Jeremiah, I formed you. God told Jeremiah, I sanctified you. Why did God make these declarations over Jeremiah? Why did God make these declarations over Jeremiah? You know why? Because in part, these declarations were forming his identity. He wanted Jeremiah to operate from who God said he was versus who the world said he was. So God has to form his identity, and he's to fulfill his calling from his God-given identity. That's why God made these declarations. Now, I'm going to give you the fourth declaration today as we conclude this series. Are you ready for number four? Are you ready for number four? Don't shout me down now. Anybody ready for number four? All right, number four. I am ordained by God. I am ordained by God. I am ordained by God. Someone say that with me. I am ordained by God. I am ordained by God. God, what are we doing? We're exercising our spiritual muscles right here. I am ordained by God. Look at what God tells Jeremiah in verse 5. He says, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. What does that word ordained mean? That word ordains means that God has placed in you all you need to fulfill your divine assignment. That's what that word ordained means. It's not a very, very special word per se, but it means that God has placed in you all you need to fulfill your divine assignment. And if you are alive today, I want to remind you that God has a divine assignment for you. God has a divine assignment for you. And the good news is that God has already placed inside of you everything you need to fulfill that divine assignment. I may not look like it, but I'm ordained. I may not talk like it, but I'm ordained. I may not have all the pedigree, but I am ordained. Why is that? Because God says I'm ordained. God says I am ordained. And here's what I want you to get. I really want to kind of put this deep down inside of you. If you're born again, if you're a born again Christian, if you're a born again believer, God has already placed everything you need inside of you. God has already placed everything you need to fulfill that assignment inside of you. Let me remind you of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Listen what the word of the Lord says over you. It says, His divine power has given us everything. Someone say everything. You know what everything means in the Greek? It means everything. He has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Look at the promise. Look at the good news. It says He's already given us everything we need for a godly lifestyle. Now, what type of significance? Now, how does this apply to our life? Well, it reminds us, my brothers and sisters, that we don't need to look outside to the world for anything. We don't have to look outside of the world for validation. We don't need to look outside of us for anything. We need to look inside of us to the Holy Ghost. We need to look inside of us to the Holy Ghost. And let me remind you, if you're a born-again believer, you're wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. If you're a born-again believer, you are wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. If you're a born-again believer, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. Why should you be intimidated by what's in front of you if the power of God resides inside of you? The only reason why you're intimidated by what's in front of you is because your eyes are on what's in front of you instead of what's inside of you. You are 1,000 times bigger on the inside. I love saying that's one of my favorite quotes. I learned that about 25 years ago. I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside. I feel like Superman every time I say that. Now, the power, this ordination from God is for all aspects of life. I don't want you to misunderstand me. This ordination for God is not just for preachers. It is not just for pastors. This ordination from God is not just for worship leaders. This ordination from God is not just for prophets. This ordination from God is for every aspect of life. I am ordained to be a father. Every time I feel like I'm not being a good father like I should be, I fight that insecurity by saying, I am ordained to be a father. I'm ordained to be a husband. There's a power to be a husband. Hello, somebody. Sometimes we need a lot of power to be a husband. Amen. There's an ordination to be a mother. You're ordained to be a mother. There's an ordination to be a wife. You are ordained to be a wife. Some of you are thinking, can I really be a wife? Can I really be a wife? You have been ordained to be a wife. This ordination is not just for preachers and prophets and pastors. This is for every aspect of life. Some of you got business ventures right in front of you. You are ordained to be that businesswoman. You are ordained to be that businessman. Got to broaden our perspective on what this ordination means. I am ordained to be healthy. I am ordained by God. I am ordained by God. Now this to be ordained speaks of several things. Let me just kind of lay this at your feet. To be ordained speaks of appointed, appointed. I am appointed by God to be in the place that I am today. I'm appointed by God to be in the place that I am today. I am not here by accident or happenstance. I am appointed by God to be in the place that I am here today. I didn't slide into this place. It may have looked like I stumbled into this place, but in reality, I am appointed to be in the place that I am in today. To be ordained speaks of chosen. I am chosen by God to be in the place that I am today. I am chosen by God to do what I'm doing. Man didn't choose me. I am chosen by God. I wasn't chosen by a vote. I was chosen by God. Let me remind you of what Jesus says in John chapter 15. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide." I, God says, chose you. When you're ordained, you're chosen. To be ordained speaks of authorized. Speaks of authorized. I am authorized to do what I do. I'm authorized by God to do what I do. Oftentimes, when I fly to different states to preach to leaders and pastors, I get a little sense of intimidation and insecurity tries to hold me down. But the moment that I step off of that plane and I put my feet in Dallas, or I put my feet in Florida, or I put my feet in San Antonio, the moment I put my feet on that floor, I say, I'm authorized by God to be here. I'm authorized by God. I'm authorized by God to do this. I'm authorized by God. That's how I push back on insecurity. That's how I push back, because I'm authorized by God. To be ordained speaks of appointed. It speaks of chosen. It speaks of authorized. Lastly, to be ordained speaks of supernatural touch. I love that. Speaks of supernatural touch. God has given you a supernatural touch to do what you do. God has given you a supernatural touch to do what you do. And again, I want to make this very plain. This is not just referring to pastors and preachers and prophets. This is talking to you. You're going to school. You think if you could handle that challenge or not. I want to let you know that God has given you a supernatural touch to handle them books. God has given you a supernatural touch to pass that test. This applies to every area of life. It's called the anointing, my brother and sister. It's called the anointing. And the Bible says you are anointed by God. You have a supernatural touch. I got it. I got it. I ain't ashamed to say it. Jesus said it as soon as he stepped off into his ministry. He says, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. I got it. You got it. I got it. We got it. It's the anointing of God. It's God doing in us what we can't do for ourselves. That's the supernatural touch. Throughout these last 7 years of Chapel Change history, I've been preaching generally every Sunday and sometimes three or four times a week. And I remember starting off this journey, I was like, man, how am I going to preach every week? Like, how am I going to preach every week and sometimes three or four times a week? How am I going to be able to do that? Like, what am I going to say? Man, I'm going to run out of things to say. And I'm here to testify, every time I've stepped up to this platform or any other platform that I stepped on, God gave me a supernatural touch. God gave me a supernatural touch. And I look forward to that supernatural touch every time, because it's always something new or fresh. Listen, you got it. I got it. We got this supernatural touch. It's God in us doing what we cannot do. That's what it is. It's God in us doing what we cannot do. By the way, let me make this clear. Most of the things that God is going to ask you to do, you cannot do in your own flesh or in your own strength or your own wisdom. Most of the things that God is going to require or ask of you is going to take his supernatural touch to get it done. That's why you got to say that. That's why you got to say, I got it. I'm anointed by God. I got this supernatural touch. I remember I told the story before, but about 6 months after we started Chapel of Change, we were experiencing certain levels of revival. People were coming to the church, and people were getting saved and delivered. And we were renting this spot before we purchased it. And the church that owned this building was led by a deacon. And his name was Deacon Burt. He was a good brother. He was probably about 85 years old. Wonderful, wonderful man of God. In fact, he helped hand this church building over to us. So we praise God for his legacy. But I'll never forget, I had a conversation with Brother Burt, Deacon Burt. I was in front of the church. It was on the sidewalk. And we were talking about what God was doing at Chapel of Change, and we were kind of just going back and forth about the lives being saved and people coming and the church being filled up. And I'll never forget, he said something that I'll never forget. He turned around and he said, and he didn't mean no harm by this, but this was just a lesson that I got. He turned around and he kind of scratched his head, and he said, "Brian, you know you're in over your head, right? You know you're in over your head, right?" He didn't mean no harm by it, but that phrase stuck to me. And that night I was thinking, like, wow, what? It came back to me that night, like, what did that mean? I'm in over my head. He didn't realize, but what he was saying was, "Brian, you know you're unqualified to handle all this. You know you're unqualified to lead this." That's basically what he was saying. And you know the reality is, in the natural realm, he was correct. In the natural realm, if this church, right, typically pre-COVID, we got 5 campuses, and typically about 1,000 people come to Chapel of Change on a weekend, right? And in the natural realm, if this church needed a pastor, right, I would not be qualified to pastor this church. In the natural realm, that's fact. If a church like this down the street needed a pastor and I gave them my resume, you know what they're going to do? They're going to skip over the resume in the natural realm. But how many of you know we do not operate in the natural realm? How many of you know that we operate from the supernatural touch of God? Because what man cannot do, God comes along, and it's the power of God on flesh doing what flesh cannot do. That's the supernatural touch of God. That's the ordination of God. That I got a supernatural touch from God. And every time I go to step into a new project, or I go to step into something new that God has called me to do, I step into it with the mentality of the supernatural touch of God, because I am ordained by God. I'm ordained by God, and I'm not going to let insecurity hold me down. And I want to declare to you, my brothers and sisters, you've been given the word of God on this subject the last 5 weeks, and so you should apply this to your life. I'm showing you what to do, and if God did it for me, he could do it for you. God did it for me. I'm nobody special in my flesh. No, I just applied the word of God to my situation. It is God that gives us the victory. It is God that gives us the deliverance. It is God. So I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, listen. I'm going to end this series as I started. It's time for you, my sister, to fight. It's time for you to fight. That's it. Time for you to fight. Not complain. Not complain. Not point the finger. It's time for you to push back. My brother, it's time for you to fight. You're the man of the house. You're the priest of the house. It's time for you to fight. All this time, God has been waiting on you to pick up your sword. There's new levels in the kingdom of God that you got to conquer. There's new levels. Some of you have been stuck on the same level for 20 years because insecurity has wrapped itself around your neck and held you down like a jailbird. But I declare to you that you're going to rise up with new and fresh power. I declare to you that you're going to rise up with freshness of the Holy Ghost. I declare to you that you're going to pick up your spiritual sword, and the next time that insecurity comes, you're going to slay it in the name of Jesus. I declare that to you, and I speak that over you today, my brothers and my sisters. We are fighting back. Chapel of Change, get ready. We're about to enter into a new season of ministry. Get ready. We're not done on this subject. We're going to talk more on this subject. I'm going to bring back this subject, but just get ready, because I really believe that the next season is going to be more glorious than the first season, and the enemy's going to attack us with insecurity. The enemy's going to attack us with insecurity. The enemy's going to try to get us to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, oh, God can't use me. I was addicted on drugs for 20 years. God can't use me. I'm a failure. God can't use me. And listen, Chapel of Change, I'm speaking to you, Chapel of Change. Listen, there's some glorious things that God wants to do in us and through us, and we are not going to let insecurity to hold us down. Not going to do it. There's big things in the making. Big and small things, but all significant things. All significant things. And so, together, we're going to slay the spirit of insecurity. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you taught us. Thank you for what you taught us these last several weeks. Help us, Lord. Help us to apply it to our life. That's what we need. We need an application. We need application. One step of obedience to God's word is better than a million verses memorized. God wants obedience. Some of y'all have been listening to the word a lot, but you got to start applying the word. One step of obedience will trigger a miracle in your life. God is waiting to do a miracle in your life. And for some of y'all, the trigger, the fuse of that miracle is your step of obedience. It's your step of obedience. Help us, Lord. Help us to obey. Help us to step out and apply this word to our life. In Jesus' name. Mighty name, we pray. And everyone says, amen and amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Let's give the Lord a hand.